This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. With a dramatic increase in the use of and reliance on internet search engines, mobile devices, and social media networks, it would seem that anyone with a product or a service to sell would have a digital marketing strategy. But while some surveys show the majority, more than 80% of companies, think digital transformation is a competitive opportunity, less than one-fourth of chief marketing officers believe their company will be known as a digital business in 5 years. Joining us to discuss the opportunities and challenges of marketing in our increasingly digital environment are Dave Hatter, solution architect and partner with Definity Partners, and Scott Abbott, president of Covenia. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dave and Scott, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be here.
Dave, things have changed drastically. I mean, in just even the past 15 years for businesses, and especially in the last 2 or 3 years, it seems like the digital world has just accelerated so rapidly. So why with all these changes going on, why are these companies just not getting with it as quickly as they could be?
Well, Mark, that is a really excellent question. I ask myself that all the time. And in talking to customers, I think there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, I think part of it is people are just naturally resistant to change. I think some of this stuff changes so fast, it's hard to know what's a fad versus what's real and going to have some staying power. For example, look at MySpace versus Facebook. And I think also there's a certain amount of fear of spending a lot of money on something that isn't going to work or isn't going to generate any return on investment. Because let's face it, most businesses at the end of the day aren't going to spend money unless they're going to get some return on investment. So I think there's a lot of reasons, and I think they all have a certain amount of legitimacy, but they're all really unfortunate because a lot of businesses are being held back by the inability or unwillingness to embrace these technologies.
So, Scott, consumer companies were a lot faster to catch on to digital marketing than businesses as business marketers. And why do you think that it went so much more smoothly with consumers and it's just a tougher road to hoe with businesses?
Well, I think you got to look at the big picture here. It's not just about digital. Digital's actually been around for a while. I mean, a fax machine was sent and received digitally, if you think about it. It's really the mobile proliferation, if you will, all the mobile devices, the iPads, the ability to be mobile as consumers, as employees, as well as social media, social websites. So digital is the underpinnings, if you will, that is brought to you, sent and received and enjoyed vis-a-vis mobile devices and social experience. So just to be clear, it's an and both, not an either or. And I think your point about consumer versus companies and enterprises, consumers have been joined, as Dave said, back to, you know, the launch of AOL and the web and MySpace, Facebook, even their apps that they buy and sell stuff on, eBay, Amazon. And for some reason or other, corporations, which traditionally were the ones that brought technology to the consumer market, are now being pushed, and we call this consumerization of IT, to get up to the plate with where the consumer market is. And so that's why corporations are having this challenge with, you know, making peace and dealing with how do we take devices and social-centric technologies that the consumers use and we like and we love and bring that into our work environment to actually get work done and be productive and generate the type of business results that we're looking for.
And if I could just add to that, I agree with what Scott said, and I think there's two other key drivers underlying that. And to Scott's point as well, they're not new, but it's the increasing ubiquitousness of networking, right? In the 5-10 years ago, it was much more difficult to find a Wi-Fi hotspot or to be able to get access anywhere. Now, virtually anywhere you go, you can get online. So it's enabling these mobile devices. It's enabling better customer experience and being able to push stuff outside your walls to consumers or other businesses. As well as then on the backside of that, we have much better systems to capture data and make decisions so businesses can see a real tangible return on investment. All right, if I do this thing, I make 2% extra sales. If there's 100 million people tied to that, that's a lot of money. Or I flip this dial over here and I replace people with kiosks and I save $100 million a year. There's all this additional analytics that makes you able to make better decisions about your business. And I think it's a combination of all those things that really have accelerated this in the last 2 to 3 years.
You know, and Scott used some interesting words there, making peace. Do you think that's a big part of it? There's an unease about doing this among companies?
Oh, I think there definitely is because, again, I think there's still a lot of unknowns. It changes fast. There's potential substantial expense to some of this stuff. And a lot of it really almost seems like voodoo to people who haven't had any experience with it. So I understand and believe people's concerns about, is this right for my business? Can this work for my business? But I think it can work for every business. And it's more than marketing or sales. It's customer service experiences that you would have not been able to create in the past, right? Who wants to call, wait for 5 minutes to get some human being on the phone if you can get online and get your question answered almost immediately on Twitter or in some other forum? I mean, this is impacting and disrupting and transforming business in every kind of way. It's not just marketing and sales.
Scott, well, and guys, well, you know, what's fun and perplexing and head-scratching here is Dave uses the word analytics. We're living it every day, and that is, look at what we call the millennial generation, the ages between 17 and 33, 34 years old. These are digital natives. They've been brought up. Now you've got what we call Generation I, 14 and below, who literally their definition of reality is what they see on their mobile device, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when I hear conflict, making peace, I sort of, you know, on a personal level, I get a little upset because there's then what, this arrogant, complacent assumption like King Tut, that if I'm a senior level leader, business runner, owner, I'm just sort of saying I'm kicking the can down the street and I don't care where the proverbial puck's going. Because we know that these younger workers aren't coming in saying, hey, can I get that mainframe computer that spins that tape and dishes out, you know, black and white screens like we saw in the series finale of Mad Men? Or am I expecting to be able to send, communicate, collaborate, what I call the cofactor, on a device that I'm comfortable with, in a format and formula that works for me and for you, whether that's 140 characters on Twitter or a text message or some type of YouTube video that's downloaded? And what Dave just said is absolutely true. I call it systems of engagement. It's the best of all worlds. Social media, what I use in my home and what I like in my personal life, respecting legacy IT, what's been involved in the corporation, the databases, the software that makes things ship and get sent and get booked and get invoiced. And when you fuse those two together and you have the right policy and the right platform, but really, guys, it all starts and stops with the culture, with the mindset. Back to, again, can they get their head around the fact that the world's changing whether they like it or not, and they've got to figure out how to do both at the same time, digital and physical, and make peace with the fact that where this world is going to, we're going more that way than back from it, and that's not going to change, right? That's why at the end of the day, this isn't even an opinion. These are all based on facts.
Well, and Scott, it sounds like you're talking about the millennial generation. You're talking about Generation I, which is something I'd never heard of. That's interesting. But you're talking about two generations of people, and it sounds to me like businesses are missing a huge opportunity. This is at their own peril if they ignore this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know what? We were on the show a while back ago. We're doing this national tour called Be Mobile Work Social, Amp It Up, right? And it's all around really almost a public service announcement. Yes, my friends at IBM have along with myself, sponsored this. I call it a movement, a mandate, a mission. But there is a responsibility now. And again, it's not to over-appease the millennials. It's not to live up to their entitlement. So you've got Generation
X. It's to serve a customer.
You've got Generation Y, you've got Generation I isn't buying things, you've got baby boomers. I can tell you, I get a boatload of, believe it or not, LinkedIn messages from what I would call people who I think would be retired, but they still want to be engaged. They want to know what's going on. If you watch some of the television commercials, grandparents are hooking up digitally with their grandkids to see what's up. So it really is this, how do we figure out how to kind of come together with the ultimate responsibility, as I think Dave just said. We call it B2B, B2C. You know what the new one is, guys? I mean, we live in an acronym world in the IT space like I do. The new one's H2H, human to human. And what's so cool, for the first time in enterprise technology and marketing, because of digital, you literally can have your cake and eat it too. So where's the holdup? Silly humans, the inability to get their head around it, the lack of desire to rationalize it with analytics and ROI and all that stuff. But the ability to do things that we've never done before, guys, is here. And so it's getting in the way, humans. What will get us from here are humans.
Yeah, I as always,
Scott's,
I agree
pretty
with
passionate
Scott
about that. Yep.
And I think, you know, it really is. It's about customer experience. It's about all of this stuff. I mean, who doesn't want to be where their customers are? Who doesn't want to save money by leveraging these technologies? Who doesn't want? But again, it comes with a cost. There's fear of change. And I'm not suggesting, and I don't think Scott is either, that everyone should just immediately stop whatever they're doing and go invest a lot of money in, quote, digital, whatever that means to them. You know, you have to figure out what works for your business. But to bury your head in the sand and say, I'm going to let this stuff go on and I'm not going to pay any attention to it, I think there are many companies, well-documented, who are getting a gigantic competitive advantage from leveraging the right strategies and technologies now. I think in a few more years, you're going to see the exact opposite occur. The people that did leverage these things will be light years ahead, and they will leave people in the dust. And those that have buried their head in the sand are going to have a very hard time catching up, or frankly, are going to be left behind, similar to the Facebook MySpace thing. Who thinks about MySpace now? No one. I mean, it does still exist out there, but who cares?
Hey, Scott, you mentioned legacy IT. How much does traditional IT serve as a barrier to moving into the newer forms of things?
Well, again, it's like everything. It depends, and it's up to your interpretation and definition of, you know, what's what. I would argue, again, back to systems of engagement, we've spent billions of dollars, trillions of dollars on legacy IT. You know, as the expression goes, I don't think you need to throw the baby out the bathwater. So if you are an organization, a company, small, big, irrespective of industry, government, profit, not-for-profit, if you've made investments in, quote-unquote, legacy IT, systems of record, as we call it, right, stuff that runs the traditional book of business, keep it. And to Dave's point, right, what is your definition of success with digital? What it could be right now, and as crazy as it sounds, because I know a lot of executives and leaders struggle with, well, Twitter, nobody cares what I had for lunch, and I could argue that I've actually had great engagement and ultimately personally won business based on the fact that I had a Twitter conversation about a Reuben coming out of the deli in New York City, but that's another story. Nobody knows and thinks that Facebook or Pinterest or, but really it's the mobility, the digital aspect of sending, receiving, and collaborating, and what I call planned serendipity. So if you at least put a front end digital concurrent to your back end for marketing, maybe it's just to keep customer service up and running while you're sleeping at night. So my point is, you can kind of have the best of both worlds. You can migrate if you have the right policy and the right 3-year plan. I mean, I sit with companies and I write one date up on their board, and then I kind of sit down and I wait for them to speak, and that date is 2020. And I have some fun with it because it's also 2020 hindsight, if you will, foresight, what have you. And we just say, how are we going to get there? So what are we going to do in the next 3 to 5 years? Maybe first we do this digitally, second we do this. We complement our current marketing, right? We don't stop running coupons if coupons works. We don't. You know, our website should always be responsive. So the one thing, Dave and I being old school website guys from 20 years ago after Gore invented the internet, if your website isn't responsive today, that's probably one of the first things I go tell you to do, because 72% of all electronic commerce in the fourth quarter of last year was done on a mobile device. And so if your website doesn't look good on a mobile device because you haven't converted it to responsive, I'd say that might be a first iteration of you to get more digital. And then you can start talking about other things that incorporate your business and your world. So really, it's not legacy is bad. It's not throw the baby out the bathwater. It's complement. It's enhanced. And yes, if you're just starting from scratch, absolutely, I would start a business in the cloud. I'd start it with a digital focus, even if you're selling bricks. I think every organization going forward that's launched and those that exist have to think of themselves as a tech-centric organization. And if you are, then you have to agree and realize that a digital, quote-unquote, platform and how that transcends in mobile and social is really the way that you're going to, you know, run your shop.
I totally agree, again, with Scott. I would just add to that, I think it's an interesting point, especially because now more than 50% of traffic based on some studies is coming from mobile devices as opposed to desktop. So we've now got more traffic coming from mobile. When you get right down to it, in 2011, Jason Spiro from Google said, and this is 4 years ago, that not having a mobile site or a mobile-friendly site is like closing your business down one day a week, because roughly 7% of all searches were coming from a mobile device. That was 4 years ago. Traffic now has exceeded desktop devices for mobile, so now it's like closing your business down for 3.5 days a week. Who can stay in business like that? So, but I do agree with Scott. You should throw out what you have. It's not necessarily bad. You should come up with a strategy, and you should move in small chunks that make sense. You don't have to be an expert at this overnight, but 2020 isn't too far away, and if you're not looking at how you can leverage this stuff, you're going to have a major problem.
Dave,
one more thing just on that.
Sure,
this is, again, a public service announcement, right? And I say this to all your listeners, and, you know, I'm in New York right now. I just flew from Boston. I'm traveling to 12 cities pretty much on the same bandwagon. And I know it sounds maybe almost, you know, motherhood and apple pie, but it first starts with self-awareness. Self-awareness in what your company has, what it does, and self-awareness in you as a leader. Are you into design? Do you understand the importance of taste and behavioral? Do you get where analytics play in? So to David's point, the new definition of leadership and ownership and management of this new era of what I call systems of engagement is changing. And so the first thing, like anything in life, if you're into continuous improvement, is to look yourself in the mirror, whether that's you individually, your organization, your team, or your company, and say, what am I good at? What am I not good at? I'm great at hardcore IT, but I need a designer. I'm great at design, but I really don't understand how that writes back into my legacy systems. So that's why I think people are struggling with this, guys. Let's just be honest. We have egos. We have paradigms. We're human beings. And I can't wave a magic wand, and we don't live in a vacuum, right? Human beings have great pluses and minuses, but really that's the mandate for everybody, is to be self-aware, assess what's going on you and your organization. Again, the technology is out there, guys. The strategies are out there. The proof is out there. The execution is there. It just has to come to us humans being willing to step up and concede the reality and work from there. That's in my opinion, where this thing gets stopped and starts.
Scott, do you think it's important for a company to move toward having a chief digital officer as part of this whole strategy?
Yeah, you know, there's new, again, I don't want to get too corporate enterprise-y with you, and Dave knows this, but there's a whole new classification of leadership labels, titles, if you will, right? Chief, digital, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, to Dave's point, I mean, the data's all out there, right? 75% on average of everything's being done through mobile. And so if you're a traditional IT person who didn't know how to build those screens and have that kind of, well, and if it's in the cloud, right, a lot of people are moving their data centers off premises into the cloud. Everything's a service, right? Software is a service. Infrastructure is a service. So then what, at the end of the day, whether you're an employee or a paying customer or a prospect or a partner, perception is reality. So the only perception they have of you, if they're not physically in your location, is what, guys? Digital. So if you were to be hierarchical ranking of importance to your organization, if you think about it, over even your product, your customer service, your quality of service, that first impression and that perception and that engagement and that interaction matters more than anything, because if that sucks, you're not going to go to the next step, which is something that's bought and sold, right? So that's why a lot of people are saying yes. In this new era in corporate computing, marketing is almost taking a leadership role over IT. In fact, Forrester, Gartner, some of the analysts are saying that by 2017, enterprise marketing will actually surpass traditional IT with regard to IT procurement. They will exceed $50 billion worth of procurement coming out of the marketing group, because that's the group now tasked with owning customer experience. And customer experience then obviously dives into digital strategy, which in time, if you follow the linear thinking here, then ties into legacy IT and the systems of supply and value chain management, all that good stuff. So yeah, the definition and the title and the responsibilities going forward are changing from where they were. And there's this new kind of hybridization that they're looking for left brain and right brain. And if I may, people that kind of agree with what we're talking about on the phone right now, I think that's what a lot of people are looking for.
Definitely, Scott, you got a lot of passion about this topic. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Dave, thank you for being here
as
well.
My pleasure.
Dave Hatter is solution architect and partner with Affinity Partners, and Scott Abbott, president of Covenio. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Bruce Ellis. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now on 91.7 WVXU.